Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today on this 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And, of course, if you're listening to us on WKZO in Kalamazoo area, the northern part of the diocese, you'll know that this is our new time, 9 a.m., so we'll be on at 9 a.m. And, of course, in the southern part of the diocese, I believe it's WTVB, Coldwater through the southern part of the diocese. You've always been listening to us at 9 o'clock in the morning. So we're glad you're with us here today. And, we always invite you to send, cards and letters, encouragement for us. You know, sometimes, it gets pretty quiet out there. We don't hear from many believers. And, you know, it's always good to hear a word of encouragement. I do from my own, at my own parish, which is St. John Bosco in Manawan, St. Margaret Mary's in Marcellus. Here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and always, you know, whenever I'm starting to feel like, well, is anybody even listening out there? Someone will say to me, hey, I listen to your radio program and I really enjoy it. So, but my brothers and sisters, I try not to make this about me. I try to make this about the scriptures, about what the church teaches, and about the love of Jesus Christ and the fullness of his church, which is the Holy Catholic Church with all seven sacraments. And even the old churches of long ago, the old, Protestant churches, Lutheran churches had seven sacraments, but not any longer. You know, it's dwindled down to one or two now, and, it's quite sad, And one of the sacraments we're going to be talking about today is not just a sacrament, but is the priesthood. This beautiful fact of ordination, okay? So it's of being ordained, of being ordained a priest. And in a certain sense, also grasping for all of us, who's in charge, okay? And, of course, I started out earlier by saying, you know, it's nice to hear from people. But the fact of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, for the most part, we walk alone. We do walk alone. We walk with Christ. Yes, indeed, we walk with Christ, but we walk alone. And another great question was asked of me this week, too, which I thought was quite fascinating. And, you know, they said, well, you know, people will start believing in religion when you can make it as good as sex. There you go. How's that? Isn't that amazing to think about that? But you know, my brothers and sisters, in a certain way, we're obsessed with that. We're obsessed with sex. And then, of course, the next thing to replace sex is, guess what? Food. See, so I tell you, my brothers and sisters, we have a lot of other things before God. We've made many other things gods for us, things that run our lives, things that we depend on. And it is not a wonder that we feel the way we feel because we become preoccupied with these other things. My brothers and sisters, I'll be the first one to tell you, I have failed in all these categories. You know, being in recovery, a recovering alcoholic, and recovering from a lot of other things too. And I think, you know, all of the above, fill in the blank. But the fact of the matter is, we need to focus in on Christ. And when we hear the readings today, I think that will help us a lot. And I think it will help us, you know, to base our happiness not on sexual relations, not on food, not on fame and fortune or the next, you know, there are all these other things like a hot cup of coffee on a snowy day. That's better than the other things, you know, putting these things at the top of the list. Or a warm blanket in a football game. It's kind of like, give me a break. We have to think about real love, real sacrifice. See? You know, there was another saying I heard this week too, that Phil Donahue had said that, Why would he ever want to believe in a religion, where the father kills the son? Can you believe that? He actually said that. So why would I believe in a religion? See, talk about a total misunderstanding of sacrifice. A total misunderstanding of what Christ
did for us, what God did for us, for the mistake that we made, that we walked away. And we've talked about that several times. We're the ones who walk away. God doesn't walk away from us. We walk away from God. So I tell you, my brothers and sisters, I think I have something better for you today that's better than food, better than sex, better than being famous, better than money, better than any addiction you can think of that you think that makes you happy, that can give you peace, that can give you serenity, that can give you self-confidence and self-worth without degrading yourself, degrading your body, degrading your family, degrading your humanity. And to top it all off, being able to make good decisions and share with others this wonderful wisdom. So in case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich. It is September 8th, 2019, the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And here are our readings. Our first reading starts from the Book of Wisdom. Wouldn't you know, right? Wisdom chapter 9, 13 through 18. Who can know God's counsel, or who can conceive what the Lord intends? For the deliberations of mortals are timid, and unsure are our plans. For the corruptible body burdens the soul, and the earthen shelter weighs down the mind that has many concerns. And scarce do we guess the things on earth, and what is within our grasp we find with difficulty. But when things are in heaven, who can search them out? Or who ever knew your counsel? Except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high. And thus were the paths of those on earth made straight. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm reading today is Psalm 90. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. You turn man's back to dust. Say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday. Now that is the past, or a watch of the night. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. You make an end of them in their sleep. The next morning they are like the changing grass, which at dawn springs up anew, but by evening wilts and fades. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. Fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all our days. And may the gracious care of the Lord your God, the Lord our God, be ours. Prosper the work of our hands for us. Prosper the work of our hands. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. Our second reading is from the book of Philemon. That's correct, Philemon. And that's chapter 9, 10, 12 through 17. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner for Christ Jesus, urge you on behalf of my child Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I should have liked to retain him for myself, so that he might serve me on your behalf in my imprisonment for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that the good you might do might not be forced, but voluntary. Perhaps this is why he was away from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a brother. Beloved, especially to me, but even more so to you, as a man and in the Lord. So if you regard me as a partner, welcome him as you would me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading today is the gospel of Luke, chapter 14, 25 through 33. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father or mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and comes after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful words from our gospel, and as I spoke earlier, you know, asking for cards and letters and words of encouragement, I'm told here by the gospel to not want any of those. To not want any of those. Not want any of these attachments, even though I'll still ask for encouragement. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, isn't it interesting? In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich. And in case you're interested in anything about the Catholic Church, would love to join the Catholic Church. It's a little bit of a process, kind of like a school year. RCIA classes, which is the classes are starting, which is the rite of Christian initiation for adults. The Diocese of Kalamazoo website at diokzoo.org. And check for a local parish. And basically you can learn everything about the church up until early springtime and decide whether you want to come into the Catholic Church or not, whether you want to be part of the original Catholic Church, you know, be baptized, receive the sacraments, all the sacraments of initiation. So it's up to you. So the other thing is, of course, Save Nazareth, savenazareth.com. We invite you to go there, sign the petition. We put up some more, there's been some more signs that have been put up. And I just, you know, we're kind of in the lowly days of this, you know, at any moment they could start tearing that stuff down. So we're really asking for anyone, go to the website and do whatever you can. You know, it's a local treasure that's going to be lost forever. It is the one of the greatest travesties that I've ever seen happen in the local Catholic Church and in this area. And will be, believe me, I will be telling the story until
they stick me in the ground. So, of what exactly happened and what exactly, who is at fault for this terrible travesty, especially the management, the Sisters of St. Joseph management in Cleveland, which is just, they're beyond belief. So let's go into the scriptures. Let's really pour into this. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, Christ is asking us to give us all of ourselves. We have to give him everything. We have to lay everything down. And I think this Book of Wisdom, of course, Wisdom chapter 9, if you don't find this in your King James Version Bible, that's because it's not in there. You know, these are the seven wisdom books that are inside of the Catholic Bibles. And this is something that's been in Catholic Bibles forever. You know, they took them out of, they took seven books, they took the wisdom books out of the King James Version Bible. But the books is 1st and 2nd Maccabees. These are all in the Catholic Bible. 1st and 2nd Maccabees, Sirach, Wisdom, Tobit, Judith, and parts of Esther, as well as Baruch. So you have the same number of Old Testament books, but the New Testament, the same number of New Testament books and Gospels, but the Old Testament is different. So we have this Book of Wisdom, and of course, Christ is asking us, God is asking us and telling us that he will give us this wisdom, that we can search out this wisdom through the Holy Spirit. And so many times we know what we need to do, and what do we say to God? What do we say to the Holy Spirit? No. That's what we say. Quite simply, quite plainly, we just say no. And nothing happens to us. You know, it's kind of like in the Garden of Eden. You know, God tells them, you know, you will die if you eat this fruit. So they eat the fruit, and guess what happens? Nothing. They don't die. And that's how we live our lives, my brothers and sisters. I'm going to be a little hard on you here for a minute, but that's how we live our lives. You know, we go here, we go there, we do this, we do that. We get drunk, we go out, we pick up prostitutes, we do whatever we darn well please, and we don't die. Wow. I guess I'll do that again. But the fact of the matter is we continue to try to fill that hole inside of us, the God hole, where the Holy Spirit is really missing. We just have this little pilot light of the Holy Spirit, because we are not connected to a community. We're not connected to the sacraments. We're not connected to the church. We have become unforgiving. Our whole minds and souls and hearts have become darkened and hardened, and we're mad. And guess what? It's somebody else's fault. Well, I got news for you, my brothers and sisters. It's your fault. It's our fault. It's my fault. Because this is what we do as human beings. We don't take responsibility over and over and over again. So the best thing Christ tells us to do is to surrender all these things. And of course, we look at this reading from Philemon, which the only comment on Philemon is from the church. And of course, the church does not comment on our first reading from 16. Does not comment. There's no comment on that in the catechism. But there is the comment of the Holy Spirit. You know, that the Holy Spirit is within all of us. But I want to read this from 24:14 from the catechism, which is about, you know, and many of us will say this, you know, and a lot of this today is about the priesthood. And many people will say, well, you gotta be married, you know, you gotta be married. No, what even Paul is saying, Paul wasn't married. Jesus was not married. You have to give yourself completely to the Lord. Completely and totally to the Lord. Every ounce of your time, every bit of your energy, to the Lord. Totally focused on Jesus. Totally being a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, everybody's not made for that. Okay? But I can see it as a deacon, and I'm married, and I have a family. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, I can't just run out and go help someone. I have other family engagements. I have other things that can go on. I have grandchildren.
But if I was a single man, right? I could do all those things. If I was hardworking, then that's the next thing. You gotta find, not only do you have to find a good priest, but you have to find a good priest who's hardworking, right? Who's willing to go the extra mile for you. So in 24:14, I just want to read this, which is very interesting. So here it is. This is from 24:14 of the Catechism. St. Paul directs a Christian master to treat his Christian slave no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, both in the flesh and in the Lord. The seventh commandment forbids the acts of this enterprise for any reason, selfish or ideological, commercial, totalitarian, lead to the enslavement of human beings, to being bought or sold or exchanged like merchandise, and disregard for their personal dignity. It is a sin against the dignity of persons and their fundamental rights to reduce them by violence to productive value or a source of profit. My brothers and sisters, we do that. We do that all the time. We objectify other people. We do this through the sex trade. Now they don't call them prostitutes anymore, they call them sex workers now. This is a disgusting part of our humanity. And our society. It is disgusting and it is deplorable. And it should be spoken out to more too. But if you involve yourself with pornography, if you're doing that type of a thing, stop doing it. You are destroying yourselves. And you are destroying humanity in the wake of it as well. And you are causing slavery. Excuse me. So I tell you, my brothers and sisters, so telling us that enslaving another person to treat another person, but not doing that, but treating them as brothers and sisters. See, to break away from that. And the only way we break away from that is to look at Christ. What we need to do is we need to sacrifice. And many of us, and of course in many Christian churches, there is no crucifix. Even in some of the very liberal Catholic churches, there's no crucifix. We don't like to see that. But that's what we're called to do. We're called to die to ourselves. Well, I don't want to look at that. That's too gory. But that's what we're called to do. Sacrifice. Including in the Garden of Eden. The man. The man is called to sacrifice. Do you understand that, men? Young men, that's what we're called to do. We're called to sacrifice, to die. Not only to die for ourselves, but to die for our families. And then finally this, from our gospel. Christ is at the center of Christian life. The bond with Him, to take precedence over all other bonds. Do you hear that? The bond with Christ is to take precedent over all other bonds, both familial and social. So as far as your family goes, or as far as your community goes, Christ has to be number one. Renouncing the great good of marriage, here it is, renouncing the great good of marriage for following the Lamb. The great sacrifice of being a Catholic priest. And I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, we've had a rough time of it, haven't we? We've had a lot of our priests fall. We've had a lot of our deacons and bishops and cardinals fall terribly. Fall into sinfulness. Fall into the degradation of the world. And so we should pray for them. We should pray for them. Pray for those now who are currently suffering. Justly, some, yes. Some who should be in jail and stay in jail. Others who should not be and should be released, I'm sure, just like any other criminals. Some are wrongly accused, and some are rightly accused and should be punished. But my brothers and sisters, I want you to think about this. If all your life consists of is bad relationships or bad marriages or just everything is horrible, come back to Christ. Come back to the church, especially reconciliation, asking God for forgiveness, asking Jesus to help you, and rewriting our minds on what that crucifix means, what that exaltation of the Holy Cross, which will be next weekend, the exaltation of the Holy Cross, and what that crucifixion means, what that sacrifice means, and do I sacrifice? So we just have about 4 minutes left. I want to touch on a few other things. But I want you to think about that, my brothers and sisters. Set yourself free from these attachments to constantly wanting to get your wife's got a pat on the back, or your husband's got to say all these nice things to you, or your kids got to do exactly what you tell them to do, or your job's just got to be perfect, and your boss has always got to be nice to you. Forget about that. Focus on Christ. Focus in on Christ. And of course, I want to invite you all to come and pray with us on the 13th of the month, which is coming up here next Friday. This next Friday, we're going to be out at Nazareth from 11 to 12, praying, peacefully praying out there, praying our rosaries to SaveNazareth.com. You can go to the website, SaveNazareth.com. Also, a final note, too, things about the church. You want to listen to HolyFamilyRadio.net, another good website to go to, and you can always reach me at DeaconLouisZemlich.com. Now, the heart of the battlefield between love and lust. This is St. Pope John Paul's Theology of the Body, and I invite you to go to EWTN.com and look this up. But this is at the heart of our problems, my brothers and sisters, how we treat our bodies. What sacrifice is about, what love is about, what sex is about, what food is about, what work is about, what God is about, what Christ is about, and what we do about it. Or whether we just go, well, I don't have anything to do with God. I hate God. And that's our answer. Like a 2-year-old. I don't want to go to church. Church is dumb. I don't want to pray. I'm not going to do that. Well, that's ridiculous. And it's high time that we stop acting this way, acting like these spoiled brat children, and start thinking about our lives and our future and our legacy. What are our grandchildren? What are our children going to say about us? So the heart of the battlefield between love and lust. In his general audience, the 23rd of July, 1980, the Holy Father continued his catechesis on theology of the body. After the fall, human sexuality was marked by a certain coercion of the body, which subverts and the expression of the spirit, seeking the communion of persons, male and female, through the mutual gift of self. The more lust dominates the heart, the less the heart experiences the nuptial meaning of the body. Do you hear that, my brothers and sisters? The more lust dominates the heart, the less the heart experiences the nuptial meaning of the body. We have to understand ourselves, my brothers and sisters. We have to learn how to love ourselves. We have to learn to be grown-ups. We have to learn to pray. So my brothers and sisters, ask the Holy Spirit to come into your heart today, to change your mind the way you think about God, the way you think about Christ, the way you think about your family and your marriage and everyone around you. And may Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God bless you all. We love you.